For 4 generations, no living soul has set foot on the island of Pendor. Not since the dragon smothered the land with his flames and left no man alive. The streets are still. Dust has grown thick on the ruined towers and the marble staircases. Only the dragon was there, and the dragon slept. Until now. Now he's awake, they say. And he has spawned again. He has sons. 8 sons. 8 black windworms circle over the silent town.
Some people say they've seen them here, flying over our village.
Have you seen them, Yurth?
No, I don't want to. Are we all going to die?
No, we are not going to die. Pendor's a long way away, and it's probably only a story anyway.
But if the dragons do come, you will save us.
That's why I was sent here.
Good. I'm glad you're here, Lord Sparrowhawk.
Well, thank you, my friend. Now, away you go and help your father with his nets, or he'll come and tell me off. Go on now.
Good. I'll come again tomorrow.
All right, then.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ged looked every day to the west, but no dragon came. So he spent his time fishing from his jetty, tending his garden patch, and serving the people in small matters whenever they asked him. This was not often. There was something about Ged that made most men uneasy, and Yoeth was the only child in the township who ever came and talked and listened to his tales.
Lord Sparrowhawk! My lord!
It's Barry! It's my son!
Yoeth! What's happened?
He's sick! I think he's dying.
Keep bathing his forehead, Jorgen. It will ease his pain.
Yes, sir.
Fishvari.
My lord.
Listen, my friend. The first law and the last of the healer's art is this. Heal the wound and cure the illness, but let the dying spirit go.
You won't save him.
He's too far out of reach.
No. You can do it. I know you can. You must. Look at my wife. The boy is everything to her and to me. I beg you.
I'll try.
I know you can do it.
Move away, Jorgen. Let me talk to him.
He can't hear us.
He may hear me. Move away. Yoeth? Yoeth, I call you. Answer me.
The boy can't hear us.
Quiet, wife.
Yoeth, I command you to answer me. Yoeth, speak again. This is Sparrowhawk.
Where am I? What place is this?
Tell me what you can see.
A hillside. I think it's a hillside.
Are you at the top of the hill? Near the light? Are you near my voice?
No. I don't know this place. It's not right. What's happening?
Are you moving down the hill? Away from the light?
Yes.
Yoeth! Come back up the hill! Come to me! Come to the light! Yoeth, listen to me! I'm going to come down the hill and get you! I'm coming! Yoeth, wait for me, Yoeth! Don't go any farther! No!
Ged had followed the dying boy too far. He was alone on the black hillside, and the stars above him were no stars his eyes had ever seen. He turned slowly. It was hard to turn back, very hard. But he came at last to the boundary between the realms of the dead and of the living. And crouching there, facing him, barring his way, was a shadow.
Oh,
bodies of the dead are no place for the living. Let me pass!
When the great storm abated, the men of Low Tawning took Ged's body back to his own home. A wise woman was left to watch over the still form of the young wizard, and the islanders went slowly and sadly back to their huts.
Hello? What are you, then? You'll be the Sparrowhawk's Otak, poor creature. I've heard men say that he tamed a wild beast, but I never believed it. Yes, there's your master. What? What you doing? Do you think that licking his face is going to bring him back to us? Poor creature. Old powers preserve us. Lord Sparrowhawk, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, thanks to my small companion here. If he hadn't brought me back... Thank you, my friend.
Ged had now made unscathed for the first time that crossing over and return, which only a wizard can make with open eyes, and which not the greatest mage can make without risk. But he returned with a grief for his friend Petchfari, and for himself, a fear.
You're leaving us? But why?
Because I must.
Is it because of yours?
Oh, no, my friend, it is. Though I share your sorrow and your wife's.
We know it. Then why?
Because I'm in great danger, and I'm putting all of you in danger, too.
You have some enemy. We'll fight him together.
Oh, Pesvari, this is an enemy beyond your weapons. And beyond mine, maybe. And it's seen me now and will track me down. It's drawn to me. Our final meeting must not take place here.
When will you leave, my lord?
Soon. There's something I have to do before I go.
Why have you summoned us, Lord Wizard?
Because, Elder Conand, I want you to tell your people two things. Firstly, this. I must leave Low Tawning.
No, you can't leave us.
Why must you go, my lord?
Because I must. I can tell you no more.
But the dragons. Who will protect us if the dragons...
That is the second thing. Before I leave, I shall go to Pendor.
Pendor?
No man has gone to Pendor for hundreds of years.
And do away with the dragons. Then my task here will be done. And I can leave freely.
But there are 9 dragons on Pendor.
8 are still young.
But the old one, the old one.
I tell you, I must go from here. I will rid you of the dragon peril first. If I can.
Well, my small savior, I reward you by taking you into great peril.
There, little Hoeg, do you see?
Pendor.
Ged stilled his small boat in the entrance of the ancient harbour and looked on the silent streets and the great crumbled pile of stones that had once been the tower of the Sea Lords of Pendor. Nothing moved. Nothing breathed. Nothing lay before him but waste and ruin and decay.
Usurper of Pendor! Come and defend your hoard!
His voice fell short of the ashen shores. But dragons have keen ears. One beast flitted up from some roofless ruin of the town like a vast black bat, thin-winged and spiny-backed. It circled into the north wind and came flying straight towards Ged.
I call no young dragon. Go back and tell the old one to come. Young fool!
All Ged had to do, as the windworm slid down arrowy from the air, was bind his wings stiff with one sharp spell and send him hurtling into the water like a stone falling. And the grey sea closed over.
Ha! You think till you can fight me? Hulinya, grandmaster! Three of your sons are dead, old one. Three dead, and I haven't had to lift my staff. How many more must die before you show yourself to me? North, south, and east, is it? Asnurvurm! Anhelm! Asnurvurm!
It was a spell of changing. Between one breath and the next, Ged flew up from his boat, a dragon himself. He soared and swooped as a hawk swoops among his three attackers. Black dragon blood dropped in thick drops into the sea until only one black dragon remained. And him, the great mage beast, allowed to fly low and lamely back to the island. At last, Ged took his form and his place again on the boat.
Old one, hear me! Six I have seen, five are slain! Come out and face me! Come out!
I know you're close, I can feel it. Oh, yes, and you can too, can't you, my little friend? But where? Where? What's the matter? What are you staring at? What can you see?
Over there?
Oh, that's just an old ruined tower. Just a pile of stones.
All right, my friend. That is no tower.
When the great dragon of Pendor was uncoiled and all afoot, his scaled head, spike-crowned and triple-tongued, rose taller than any tower's height. Lean as a hound he was, and huge as a hill. There was no song or tale could prepare the mind for this sight. And Ged stared in awe.
Who calls on me?
I call!
Ah. Eight sons I had, little wizard. Five died. One is dying. Enough. You will not win my hoard by killing them.
I don't want your hoard.
Come ashore and look at it, little wizard. It's worth looking at.
No, dragon!
I have silver. I have jewels torn from the bodies of puny princes and princesses long dead. I have... gold.
You can't charm my senses with the glitter of your gold!
I did not know that men came so young into such power. Is it to ask my help that you have dared journey here?
No, that is not my quest.
Yet I could help you. You will need help soon against that which hunts you in the dark. And, are you surprised that I know your secrets, little wizard? What is it that hunts you? Name it to me.
If I could name it.
Could name it, you could master it.
I came to strike a bargain with you.
A bargain? I do not bargain. I take. What have you to offer that I could not take from you whenever I like?
Safety! Your safety! Swear to me that you and your sons will never again leave Pendor, and I will swear to leave you unharmed!
You threaten me with
With the one thing that can master you, with your name, Yevaud.
At the sound of his true, his secret name, the dragon was still, utterly still. A minute went by, and another, and Ged smiled.
I've studied your kind, dragon. I have your name. Will you bargain?
You may choose 9 stones from my hoard. The best. Choose, then go.
I don't want your jewels, you vowed.
Where is Manfreda? Men love bright stones in the old days. I know what it is you want, wizard. I can offer you safety. I know what alone can save you. There is a horror follows you. I will tell you its name.
Ged's heart leapt in him. He fought against the sudden startling hope, perhaps his only hope of ever defeating the shadow that sought his doom. But it was not his own life that he bargained for. And one mastery, and one alone, could he hold over the dragon.
That is not what I asked for! Yevaud!
You place the safety of fishermen and farmers before your own life? What are they to you that they should live or die?
Yevaud! Swear by your name that you and your sons will never fly forth again! Swear it! Swear it! Swear it!
By my name, I swear it!
Silence lay over the isle then, and Yevaud lowered his great head. When he raised it again and looked, the wizard was gone. In rage, Yevaud, the dragon of Pendor, rose up, writhing his body and beating his wings that spanned the whole width of the ruined town. But his oath held him, and he did not fly, then or ever, to deliver devastation and ruin to the peoples of the Isles of Earthsea.
The Dragon Lord!
Lord Sparrowhawk!
Thank you, my friends. Thank you all.
Another drink, my lord.
Thank you.
You forgive me saying so, my lord, but, well...
Say if it's that age.
Well, sir, it's a treat to see you looking so joyous.
Joyous, yes, I suppose that's the word.
To defeat a dragon must be a very great thing.
Oh, that's not the reason.
My lord?
Look around you, Pitchfatty. Look at all this happiness, all this thanksgiving. Feel the brightness.
Sir?
How could any shadow come near me tonight?
My lord, does this mean you've changed your mind? You'll stay?
No, my friend, no. Tonight I'm safe. Tonight I draw no danger to me or any near me, but one night quickly passes.
How near are we to rope, Captain?
Better than halfway, my lord. But we've made no headway at all this past hour. This wind.
What of it?
I've never known anything like it. We might as well be pushing against a solid wall. Could you say a word to it, maybe?
I could, but it wouldn't help. You must turn back.
Well, that would be a great disgrace. A wizard on board and I turn tail because of a wind.
There's no disgrace. This is no ordinary wind, and it's not against your ship it blows, but against me. Turn back.
Aye, my lord. Steersman! Hey! Prepare to turn back!
Aye, aye, Captain!
So, Hoeg, my silent little friend, the Isle of the Wise protects itself. I'm too dangerous to be allowed to return to Rook. The shadow must be very near.
Ged tried to plan where he should go, what he should do. But each choice, each plan, was blocked by a foreboding of doom. So he wandered aimlessly, travelling with wary dread from isle to isle.
Where are you bound, Lord Wizard?
Who asks?
Hold off your staff. What do you fear?
What follows behind me.
So? But I'm not your shadow.
What do you know of my shadow?
You're right to be suspicious, but you needn't fear me.
Do I know you?
I don't know you, yet I think perhaps we do not meet by chance. I'll give you this counsel. If you need a sword to fight shadows with, go to the court of the Terranon. A staff of yew wood will not serve your need.
I've never heard of the court of the Terranon.
It lies in Oskil.
That land has a dark name.
You're from Roke. The wizards of Roke always give a dark name to wizardries other than their own. I bid you good night.
Oskil.
Row, you scum! Row!
Far now from the islands of his fame, Ged could obtain no passage on any vessel bound towards Oskil. He had no choice but to join a ship as oarsman, and the journey was long and painful. Ged mistrusted all the men on the ship, many of whom were slaves and criminals, so he said little and went under a false name.
Snowkelb, are you slave or lawbreaker?
Neither.
Why don't you wear a knife, then? Are you afraid to fight?
No.
They say you carry a dog in your cloak. Perhaps your dog fights for you.
You're not a dog. Otak.
An Otak. Where is it, Kellum? Let's see it. Plump, is it? Juicy.
Quiet, Keel. Save your breath for your rowing.
The ship came at last to Nesham, the trade city of eastern Oskil, a grey town lashed by rainy wind, lying under a snow-darkened sky. Ged had come far from the sunlight of the inmost sea.
That's the last.
Right. Collect your things, you're free.
My thanks.
Not many men come here by choice.
Why did you?
I seek the court of the Terranon.
I've never heard of it.
I have. It lies on the Kexent Moors. I go that road. I'll be your guide, Gallop.
So you're good for something, Skeel.
Yes.
You're in luck, it seems.
Yes, so it seems.
Skios was no company Ged would have chosen. But he knew neither the way nor the language of Oskil, and had small choice.
We've gone miles. How much farther?
Not far.
They walked in silence, and the silence of winter lay on all the land. Far now from any house or hut or living soul, their road was only a scar through an open waste of thin snow and leafless bushes. In the darkening afternoon, there was no sign at all of what way they should go or had gone.
It'll be dark soon. I can see something ahead on that hilltop. Do we go there? There's more snow coming and night. How much farther, Skjorth? Skjorth, answer me.
Not far.
Skjorth.
Face me.
Ged stopped still, and the other turned. And there was no face under the peaked hood.
You.
When the shadow creature spoke his true name, the young man's power was frozen. He stood alone, with nothing between him and his enemy but the staff of yew wood in his hand. A rage of horror filled Ged. That this undead thing should feed on his power. And with a great effort, he brought down his staff on the hood that hid the shadow face.
Ah!
Ged dropped the flaming, useless staff from his burnt and blackened hand, and he ran. He ran. He ran through that vast, dark land where there was no hiding place. He ran, and it ran after, unable to outrun him, yet never falling behind.
No! What? What was that?
A pale light appeared before him, shining through a gateway. He could not see the walls, but he saw the gate. With the last strength left in him, Ged plunged through that faint, shining door. He felt himself falling, and he felt himself caught even as he fell, but his mind, utterly spent, slid away into the dark.
Sparrowhawk. Sparrowhawk.
What? Who are you?
Welcome, Lord Sparrowhawk.
You know me?
But you don't remember me.
Remember you, lady?
I thought you wouldn't. But forgetful as you may be, you're welcome here as an old friend.
What is this place?
This is the court of the Terranon. I am called Seret. Silver in the tongue of Oskil. And you are sometimes called Sparrowhawk and have great power.
I had power once. It was sucked from me. I've lost it, I think.
Only to regain it tenfold. An evil way may lead to a good end, after all.
How long have I been in this bed? What are these clothes?
Don't you like them?
I'm dressed like a prince. Where are my clothes and my staff?
Yes, your staff was destroyed.
The shadow!
It cannot enter the court. There are mighty walls about you here, and not all of them are built of stone.
The woman was young, tall and white-skinned, with hair that fell straight down like a fall of black water. She showed Ged rich rooms and halls, winding stairs of marble and high windows that looked out over hills that went on houseless and treeless and changeless, clear to the sun-washed winter sky.
You are welcome here, Lord Sparrowhawk.
Thank you, my lord.
Later that day, Seret brought Ged before her husband, Lord Benderisk, an old man thrice her age, who looked at his lady as one looks at a beautiful bird, caged for its owner's amusement.
Stay as our guest for as long as you will. Anything you need shall be provided.
You are most kind.
Something troubles you, guest?
I'm not sure, Lady Seret. It's as if my mind is clouded.
You need time to recover, that is all.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Day after day, dull, heartsick and cold, Ged kept by himself in his high tower room. When he could not stand to think his thoughts any longer, he would descend and Seret would meet him and they would talk. She could put Ged at ease with one smile.
Is it true that the lords of Oskil have great treasures?
Yes, it's true. And the jewel that gives this court its name outshines them all.
The Terranon is a jewel?
A precious stone. Would you like to see it? Oh. Come on. Here, our deepest and safest hoard room.
Terranon is kept here?
Tell me what you see.
Just a bare room, like a cell.
Look again. Look with the eye of a wizard. Now can you see it?
I see it.
It was no jewel. It was one of the stones that made up the floor, plain and dank as the rest, and unshaped like a rough paving slab. Yet Ged felt the power of it, as if it spoke to him aloud. It was a very ancient thing. An old and terrible spirit was prisoned in that block of stone.
That's the Terranon.
How can you speak of it so lightly? Tell me its powers.
It's very old. If you lay your hand on it and ask it a question, it will answer. It told of your coming long before you came to this land. Will you ask a question of it now?
No.
It will answer you.
There is no question I would ask it.
It might tell you how you will defeat your enemy. Ask it.
No.
Are you afraid of it?
Yes.
Sparrowhawk, you are not afraid.
My lady, that stone can work great evil.
I've touched it. I've spoken to it and heard it answer. It does me no harm. My guest, my friend, you have nothing to fear. A weaker man would, but not you.
I don't understand.
My husband, Benderesk, is lord and inheritor of the Terranon. It has great powers, far beyond the answering of questions. But he cannot use the thing. He cannot make it serve his will. Nor can I, alone, or with him. Only one man has both the skill and the power. You.
How do you know that?
The stone told me. It knows its master. It told me of you, and I sent the messenger who found you and told you to journey here.
The stranger at Oromi? You sent him?
The stone needed you. I need you. The man who can make the Terranon do what he wills has great power. He has the strength to crush any enemy. He has foresight, knowledge, wealth, dominion, and a wizardry that could humble the Archmage himself. All that is yours for the asking.
Serret, the old powers of Earth are not for us to use. They work only ruin.
The creature that hunts you. The Terranon has power 100 times greater. It will defeat it for you. You shall be saved.
No.
You will be mightier than all men. A king. You will rule the world, and I will rule with you.
No! No! Can't you see? The stone's enslaved you. It controls your mind.
No!
I told you.
Oh, Lord Benderesk!
I told you he'd slip from your hands. They're clever fools, these gauntish sorcerers. And you're a fool, too, thinking to trick both him and me and use the Terranon for your own ends.
My lord!
But I am the lord of the stone. And by the stone, I shall punish you.
He's summoning the servants of the stone. They'll kill us both.
You lured me here to save me from the shadow just to use me.
Come on!
Ah, Terranon, Mikarov. Terranon, come up, Terranon!
Seizing Ged's hand, Serret ran with him through the passages and halls, up the long, twisted stairs. They came out into the courtyard, where a last silvery daylight still hung above the soiled, trodden snow.
The servants of the stone are terrible! We must get outside the court!
Why are you trying to save me?
I can't stand up to him on my own! He's hidden the gate! He's put a charm on it! Where is it?
Over there! Come on!
As Ged led the woman through the gate of the Wall of Spells and onto the drear light of the moors, she changed. She was not less beautiful, but there was a fierce, rich look to her beauty.
Why are you staring at me? We must get away!
I know you now. You're the girl who laughed at me in the meadow by Ogion's house. You're the one I tried to impress by raising a spirit from the dead. You're the one who made me loose the shadow.
Forget your shadow! What is it now? What have you found?
Be silent, witch!
Ged stooped to the small, dark thing half buried in the snow and softly picked it up.
I'd forgotten. Was that your doing, too? I'd forgotten you. Forgive me.
It was the Otak. Its fine, short fur was all clogged with blood, and its small body was light and stiff in his hands.
You tried to protect me, didn't you? You stayed here behind me and tried to fend off the shadow. You gave your life for mine. Thank you, my friend.
The servants of the stone! Save yourself, fool! Powerful glass!
With that quick, gasped spell, Serret shrank into a grey gown and flew. For the first time, Ged looked up. From slit windows in the tower behind them were issuing forth botched beasts belonging to ages before bird or dragon or man.
Enough!
I will have no more tricks and traps. I will be hunted down no more. Stafur! Rima Stafur!
Suddenly, Ged held a great staff, a wizard's staff, in his hand, and it blazed with a pure white mage fire that does not burn, but drives away the dark.
Back! Back from the light! Follow that girl! If it's blood you want, follow that girl! I will be hunted no more!
As he had done once before on the Isle of the Wise, Ged took the shape of a great hawk. On barred, sharp wings he sped, knowing neither why nor where. Falcon-winged and falcon-mad, he flew like an unfalling arrow, like an unforgotten thought, over the Oskill Sea and eastward into the wind of winter and the night.
Gormod Riddich, Loyuron Riddich, Milantis Lormonditrac, Milantis Riddich. Ged.
Ochion.
Welcome, lad.
For too long, Ged had worn the falcon's wings and looked through the falcon's eyes, and very few there were who could have made him back into a man. Ged had flown to the right haven.
I've come back to you as I left you. A fool. I have no strength against the thing.
You had strength enough to outspell the Lord of the Terranon in his own domain. At Pendor, you had strength enough to stand up to a dragon.
In Oskill, I had luck, not strength, and I knew the dragon's name. The shadow that hunts me has no name.
All things.